Queensland Memorial Reconciliation Award, and the government is appalled by Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. A memorial telling the story of first contact from the Indigenous perspective has won the Premier's Reconciliation Award in Queensland. The memorial was established in Maryborough on the Fraser Coast on the land of the Batchelor people. Uncle Glenn Miller is the founder of the Batchelor Men's Business Aboriginal Association and came up with the design for the memorial.
Well, our little monument is pretty simple. And it's three Aboriginal shields lying on the ground with musket ball holes in them. And the whole thing is less than a metre square. And it's the symbol of the moment when our Aboriginal men armed with spears first met white people armed with firearms. And the three shields lying on the ground are symbols of what was left after that initial contact.
Foreign Affairs Minister Penny Wong says the government is appalled by recent events in Rafah, Gaza's southernmost city. On Sunday, an Israeli airstrike sparked a huge blaze on a tented area for displaced Palestinians in Rafah. Speaking at Senate estimates yesterday, Senator Wong called for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire.
The death and destruction in Rafah is horrific. This human suffering is unacceptable. And we reiterate to the government of Israel, this cannot continue.
Pope Francis has apologised for using a homophobic slur during a private bishop meeting. The Pope reportedly told Italian bishops that gay men should not be allowed to train for the priesthood and reportedly used a derogatory term to describe what he called gay infiltration in priesthood colleges. In a statement, the Vatican says the Pope didn't mean to offend anyone and has apologised to those who were hurt by the use of the word. A gig-goers threatened a pro-Palestinian protester with a broken glass during a Deborah Conway gig in Hobart on Saturday night. The incident was captured on video and shows a female protester interrupting Conway's gig near the front of the stage before a female patron smashes a glass on the stage and holds the stem at the protester's face. Another woman attending the gig then jumps up and holds back the woman with the glass. Protesters interrupted the gig a number of times, with a man who unfurled the Palestinian flag and who was yelling at Conway being removed from the venue by security. Conway's been under fire since a recent ABC interview from last year, in which the singer was asked about the disproportionate impact of Israel's military action in Gaza on innocent people, including children. Conway responded to the question with, "Well, that depends what you call kids." In a statement about Saturday night's incident, Conway condemned the protesters disrupting her gig, saying people shouldn't be harassed in their workplace for their views, and that a few words out of a long interview had been twisted. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned this following story contains the name of an Aboriginal person who's passed away. The grandson of Indigenous media trailblazer Tiger Bales is making his own mark on the Hollywood big screen. Quaden Bales walked the red carpet at the Sydney and Brisbane premiere of Furiosa, the latest film from the Mad Max franchise. Speaking to NITV, the young actor says he can't wait for Mob to see the movie.
I feel really good to be in a movie like this. Like, it's obviously going to create more of a, like, a profile for me, so, and I can't wait till it comes out so everybody can see it. I want to show my culture that if you're black, you can make it. Like, you don't have to be a different colour to make stuff. I'm a proud Aboriginal young boy and I'm making it. Like, I'm in Mad Max, you know, like, it is hard, but you just got to work every day and just practice. That's all it does. Practice takes perfect.
And in sport, Australia is set to face an underprepared England side when their old rivals meet in the T20 World Cup in Barbados on June 8. Shaken by their appalling defence on the 50-over competition in India late last year, England fix up a warm-up series against Pakistan to build cohesion and finalise plans. They even pulled their players out of the closing stages of the Indian Premier League to help their readiness. And that is the latest from NIRS News.
Which way gambling? Big issue for us? When gambling takes over, it can affect all of your life. We may not know when we have crossed the line. We are a people that are strong in culture and family. Together, we can take back our power over gambling and strengthen our spirit. Search Gambling Help Queensland or give them a call on 1800 858 858 for tips and ideas about how to manage gambling. It's free and you can remain anonymous. Hear you, mob. Be brave and let's start yarning about gambling.
Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
You know, the flu can be passed around as easily as a footy can. But unlike a footy, when the flu's passed around, it can make some of us mob very sick and be really dangerous for everyone in our communities. That's why it's good for all us mob to get protected with a free flu vaccination. Talk to your health worker about getting vaccinated today or visit health.gov.au/flu. And let's give flu the boot. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today, and our special guest is the Honourable Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, one of my very good friends indeed. Glari, you're in the city of Gimoi, and we just wanted to say, wherever you are listening to this program, by the way, thank you for joining us. And we have a wonderful show for you today because we have a number of government ministers from the Birriggubba Nation visiting a special delegation to discuss trade between the Yidinja Nation and the Birriggubba Nation, which are both leading the sovereignty space, if I may say so myself, not only that, being recognised around the places for doing that. Glari, I'm just wondering, first of all, welcome, and how did you find the city of Gimoi compared to good old Birriggubba country?
Well, thank you very much, Murumu. And thanks very much for receiving us and having us here on Gimoi territory. It's always an honour and a pleasure to visit Yidinji. And a wonderful day as always. We always have a lot to talk about and a lot to discuss, and the things that are moving forward is so exciting. Particularly in the area of trade and commerce, and looking forward to the future. So it's just wonderful. Thank you.
It is wonderful. And I'm wondering, what are people back home talking about? What are they saying about sovereignty and the government? And obviously, because they'd be proud of it, starting these important footsteps of self-governments and self-determination.
Well, as it happens, we are gearing up for our community presentations on Friday night for Birriggubba Nation. So this is letting everybody know what it is all about. Given a lot of the things that are happening in the Australian world right now, people are starting to get a bit concerned about things and privacy matters and their CBDC that they're trying to roll out, taking cash away. So there's lots of concerns everywhere at the moment, and we are so excited to be able to offer people and say to people, if they would like to become a part of a sovereign nation, then now is the opportunity to come and find out all about it. So people are excited to hear more.
And I understand that you are making those presentations, and part of that is the matter of citizenship or naturalisation, and obviously that's quite an important step in building the nation. I mean, we know that the tribe is there, we know the land is there, but to actually have some sort of mechanism where people can be part of the Birriggubba story, as they can be here with the Yidinji, is very exciting indeed.
It is so exciting. And I think the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, these nations are really starting from the ground up. And so many people all throughout their life get stuck in something that they're not particularly happy doing. It's just to pay the bills and keep going with life, really. You don't get a chance to get creative in what you love to do. So we're actually saying to you, do what you love. You know, come aboard and actually figure out what it is that you love to do. Because when you do that, you get creative. It's a it's just a beautiful journey for us, and it's incredible to be able to open this up to the wider population, to start bringing members on board to contribute to a world that they want.
And what are the elders saying about it? Tell us some of the things that they're talking about, and some of them obviously involved with setting up government and being part of it as well.
Our elders are very, very excited about this. Like so many, it's been a bit of a roundabout for so many years, and stuck in a loop of what the government has actually wanted them to do, not being able to get back to their traditional ways, not being able to exercise what they know in the environment that has been their home for forever and a day. So to be able to have this process, and for them to know that they are actually going to have the freedom to do that, is so exciting. I think they're just really so looking forward to that position where they are able to get back to who they are.
It's been a long journey. You know, we're getting on in our lives, and in terms of the age and things like that. But it's such an exciting and reinvigorating journey that there's a lot of exciting things going on, and it's not like a false excitement or one that's going to fall in the ditch, because it's based on the truth. And there's a foundation there that is something that I guess most people really want, something that's real. And are you finding that with people that you speak to about, like, sovereignty and you know, Birri Gubba?
Yes, I think people have really, particularly over the last 3 to 4 years, come to the comprehension of what a lie life has been, really, in the sense of a lot of things, so many things that we have been taught, so many things that we thought were happening aren't happening. And just to have that element, that ground level truth of this is what it's about. This is the transparency that everyone has been yearning for, particularly with the increase over the last 3 to 4 years. So it does reinvigorate you. And the people that we talk to who really comprehend what this is about get just as excited as we are. They want to be involved. They want to play their part. They want to be right there at the beginning to be able to build this world that nobody really has even dreamed of, because coming out of that sleepiness, if you like, to really waking up, it gives you a boost, it gives you more energy, it gives you excitement, and it gives you forward thinking, and that's what it's all about. And I just want to say too, at Morimo, at this point, Yidinji has been leading the way with this for a long time now, you know, over 10 years with your government. And for you to extend your hand of friendship has just been absolutely incredible. And we couldn't do this without you guys. So thank you.
Well, and it goes vice versa too. And you know, if it wasn't for the leadership of the elders and the Yidinji families, and all the families that really here, it makes sense that people do want truth, and they want justice and settlement, security and peace. And, you know, these things are really important when you look about what's happening around the world. There's wars, there's famine, there's lots of stuff that's going on. And, you know, I think credit to the Birri Gubba elders for having the same foresight, because obviously I would say that after talking to some of them at least, you know, they really don't want people to experience that. I mean, we've had lots of people come to the continent who have run away from wars and persecution and things like that. So it's the last thing you want to be actually happening here. And ultimately, the leadership has to come not from politicians in Canberra or wherever, but really from the mob and different tribal mob and the families and the eldership and the knowledge holders.
And one of the most beautiful things about that is that it's all about the future generations. It really is. And that is evident when you start talking to the elders and they start to talk with you about what their visions are. It is all about those future generations and giving them that space where they don't actually live in a world that we've seen unfold. And it's just opening up their minds, opening up their hearts, opening up their way of life to be able to find the balance in their own lives with the without the constraints that most have. So it's just beautiful.
I guess what's one of the common things that you find about people when you're talking about sovereignty and around the different places? Why is there an interest in this space? And you know, what's brought people to this, to this subject matter?
I think more so now than ever, there has been so much information that has come out particularly over the last 4 years. And I keep referencing that because that's just the way that it is. And people have really, not only have they processed a hell of a lot of information, but they have really started to get to know themselves, because sovereignty actually is all about yourself and it's about learning who you are and who you really are. And as people have gone on that journey, they've really started to recognise that perhaps they actually haven't been living as they should be, as a sovereign being, as the person that is always striving for the highest good, as the person that is building that community. You know, we've seen a lot of things come in where it's all about division, it's all about divide and conquer, really. And that's right down to family relationships and, you know, even just raising children and the way that children have been educated and making it so difficult that both parents have to work so they don't have that family relationship that perhaps you and I grew up in. It's just a different world today. And I think with this journey for people, as they really start to get to know themselves, the ethics and the morals and the values are starting to come back in so much more than we have ever seen in our lifetime. Well,
yes, I think it's really vital that people start to grasp the situation. And, you know, I was talking about this last week with people and how there is a concerted effort by some group around the place to really undo the traditional tribal kinship systems here. And if you can break down those things, you can break down a nation. When that particular design, in this case a Yidinji design, the clan kinship system, the extended family, all that part, if that's broken down and split up through stolen generations, genocide and forced assimilation, these blunt instruments are there to actually keep people scattered and in a place of disarray and confusion. And I think the Yidinji elders, certainly the ones that I have been speaking with for many years now, absolutely 100% seen that coming and been victims of it. And, you know, most people that we know have you know, you can see people that have been in the corrections facilities or, you know, people who may have had children taken away from them. Even, you know, after Kevin Rudd said sorry, you know, record numbers of children being in juvenile detention and in and out of home care and all that kind of stuff. So you got to come to a point where, you know, why isn't that not working? And the reason is because the tribes have the solution and the remedy to move this whole continent and the whole planet forward in a way where peace and security is within grasp.
100%. I think this has been going on for such a long time, and the Birri Gubba elders, they and your elders, a lot of elders around the country have lived through so many different mechanisms of trying to break down that family unit by, as you said, removing them from by removing from country, by stolen generation, by the genocide, by many, many different mechanisms. The only thing that I think has changed now is the way that they do it. It's still exactly the same things that are coming around and showing that face, which is the face of division, the face of removing children. They just do it in a different way now. They do it in a way that makes people believe that they are doing it for the betterment of the child. But it's not. It creates so much confusion. Then any removal from country creates a confusion of the connection to country. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, and, you know, the very earliest examples of that were people from the First Fleet. This is, you know, they were stolen too and they were chucked. They didn't have much option about that. And, you know, I often think about where people's journeys have, you know, have come from in terms of their how they got here. Even that's what this is about, really, when this is sort of in a reflection of sovereignty about who you are and where you come from and all that stuff. And so and who made us, that's the big part of it too, obviously, the creator, Gaiabara here. And so I think that these things are really matters that people will ponder a few times in their life, but more so now with this kind of conversation we're having. The internet has also bought into lots of other different opinions and things like that. So people have the ability to study these a little bit more if they need to. I'm just wondering now, what are the priorities for the Birri Gubba Nation for this year? And let's say over the next few years now, what are the top targets that your government is putting on the table?
So first and foremost is the education on what the nation is about. And as I mentioned before, that starts on Friday night with our community presentations. And then opening up for membership, that's really important. You can have a nation with just a couple, but that's not what it's about. It's for everybody and it's really about building the community. So we have been building community in our area for quite some time now, which has been a beautiful process, and you can really see how that's morphed into something beautiful, and it's a reminder of what it means to be there for each other, for your friends, your family, your group, your community. So having said that, with building community, I think that's also contributing to the fact that people are really excited to actually become a part of a nation that's the foundation of it, that's the basis of it. So that's first and foremost, and there'll be education sessions, you know, in different parts of Birri Gubba territory. Then establishing the different aspects that make up the nation. And, you know, we've had some amazing discussions on trade and commerce today, and there's so much unfolding in that area, and I think it's a really exciting journey as both our nations go through with that. And we talked about the dollar, the currency system and all of that sort of thing. That's a big undertaking. And it's an education process, again, to have people shift their mind from one to another. Simultaneously, we are looking at a food network, our own food network, and groundwork's been done for that. So the next step is to get the team together to actually put that into place. You know, we've got people looking at the education side of things as well, the health side of things. So there is a lot happening on the table, which is exciting. And all of these things take time and people to participate in it, to build. So that's sort of the journey unfolding at the moment.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service, which is broadcasting here on the Yidinji Territory. If you're listening to it outside of the Yidinji Territory, it's probably via our friends at Bumabipra 98.7 FM, who are brought inside the Commonwealth via the National Indigenous Radio Service. And my guest today is our wonderful friends from the Birriggaba Nation, in particular, the Honourable Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Larry Bunbury. And it is a pleasure to have you here. Last time we had a good yak was of note. Was on the Ngambri Territory, Ngunnawal Territory, with the Australian National University, the College of Law, looking at on how a nation-to-nation treaty might look like. And, of course, we already had one. We did our here's one we prepared earlier. But I think that was also an exciting milestone for both our nations.
That was an incredible trip, I think, for all of the ministers from both Birriggaba and Yidinji that attended. The opportunity to participate in something like that is, you can't put a price on it. And a big thank you to the Australian National University for actually facilitating that. But the learning journey, and you're right, we did have our treaty in place, and as it turns out, it was a very good treaty. But just going through the process of treaty when you are dealing with other countries or other nations in a formal sense was a learning curve that all of us were very, very grateful for. And then also with the opportunity to have a moot court and have that experience of standing in front of judges and what that might possibly look like should we find ourselves in that situation was invaluable. So not to mention the time that we just loved spending with the Yidinji government and ministers as well was the, it was just great to be a part of that.
It was, and the historic signing as well, it's all very new to us, but Bumi travelled down through your territory to go to the Yithabal Narakbal Yukum Yukum territory where... not only you witnessed that particular agreement, but then we had our own little session to do that as well. Now, I wasn't there for that, but Bumi assisted with that and was the senior Crown Officer for the Yidinji Nation, that is. These little things, I guess, in future years, how do you think people will see them?
I think they're going to play an extremely important role. Every single thing that happens is history-making right now, and particularly with the nations, Yidinji Nation, Birriggaba Nation and the other ones that are starting to stand up as well, because it really is the earmark of coming into a freedom that none of really us have really known in our lifetime. So these things will go down in the history book. People will look at this in 100 years' time and be like, wow, That was a really courageous, I guess, because it is in these times, thing to do. And thank you. I think that's what people will do.
Yes, I'm very excited. Let's change the pace a bit now. Let's look at for those who may not know where the Birriggaba Nation is. I mean, just tell us about the country, where it is, or give us the Australian description, for example. And what you love about living there.
So Birriggaba stands for Native B, and our territory in the Australian
description.
It goes just south of Townsville, out past Charters Towers, follows the Great Dividing Range, dips down below Rockhampton, and then comes back in at the coast at St Lawrence. So it's quite a large territory there. It's made up of 20 different clans, and it's quite large, but that's okay. It's based on language. So whatever that looks like, then, you know, for each area in their language area is what their territories should look like. we love living there. You know, we have, as I said, mentioned before, the community that has come together is incredible. We've very close relationships with community in quite a number of different places on our country. So it's just really an incredibly exciting experience and something that I know that we're all so proud to be involved with.
And in terms of trade export opportunities, rather, what are some of the things that you, I mean, you mentioned food there, and food sovereignty is really important because, you know, there may be some sort of a global shortage in the future, we don't know. But also the, you know, I would say that the promotion of organic and homemade, you know, food is really important as well. But what other things are happening that you can let us know a little bit about?
So, yes, food definitely is a big thing. And the other things that we've just got underway is some health products, absolutely natural health products, homegrown, using the things that are grown on country to actually provide the benefits of a healthy lifestyle. So we're very focused on prevention rather than anything else, because that's really where it starts. And we've got a wonderful team that grows quite a few of the natural herbs and natural remedy type trees, which are then made into two health products.
Yeah, and I guess one of the big ones potentially is indigenous or native ingredients for cooking, and you know, having that kind of stuff maybe entering into European restaurants, and we just don't know until we put it all out there, right?
That's right.
Is there something that's really that you have a that you'd like to see happen in the next few years? I mean, you can be a bit selfish if you like, you know, and dream big, please, you know. But you know, what's something that you really hope and wish for that that the Birriggubba Nation or that will happen across the continent here with all the different mobs? So what's your idea of a dream situation?
For everybody to actually come together, to leave what they've learnt behind so that judgment doesn't come in, because there is still a lot of judgment. Just to put it all aside, for each person to really start to get them know themselves before they project their thoughts, their ideas onto others, and really learn what this is about in the sense of both an individual level and also collectively. And when that does happen, that's when the country comes together. That, more than anything, is what I would like to see, is for people to actually start to really stand on their own two feet, to be able to know that we each have within us the capability to do amazing things. And when you get that and then you bring that together collectively, then you have the opportunity to change the world more than people can comprehend.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for travelling up here with your entourage. You've got a massive task ahead of you guys, and we obviously wish you the very, very best, because it is exciting. And, you know, as an office holder, there is a level of excitement but responsibility. We just love seeing how the Birriggubba Nation is growing every time we talk. And, you know, what's really making me happy and thinking about, you know, how we project a few years and what we can see is about this cross-border trade through our currencies. And that's something I, you know, when we talk to people, they a bit, oh, okay, is it blockchain or is it Bitcoin or is it some sort of cryptocurrency? No, this is real Birri Bucks. I love that name, but it is Birri Bucks and Yidinji dollars being exchanged, and that's going to happen very, very soon this year, even.
Oh, I have no doubt that that's going to happen this year. And how exciting is that? It's really the steps that are that Yidingi is taking at the moment and Birriggubba is taking at the moment. Sometimes you can just hardly put words to it, to be honest. And it's so exciting, and it's so exciting to be able to walk on this journey together. So, again, we just say thank you. And we were more than all of us that have come up from Birriggubba have been really excited about this trip and the collaboration that Yidingi and Birriggubba are having moving forward. And it's so tangible that it's just a breath away.
Well, thank you so much again, Minister. We always appreciate, and obviously I'm going to have to repay the favour with a visit. I couldn't come down there last time, but I really want to say thank you from our government, and I'm sure the elders and the tribe also pass on their blessings, because. It's because they've created this government that we are having this conversation. And please pass on our best to the mob down south.
To show for myself yet, but don't judge me, cause I live my life ruggedly. My skills and ability comes to me naturally for me to release my lyrics swiftly with the wind blow. So slick, quick, wickedly it flows, smooth as I cruise, running like a spin rim with my roller by haircut trim. Now I ain't trying to pretend or act to anybody else, this is all me for real. So deal with it if you don't like the way you live it. Step aside, let me drive my life, and if I might make a mistake, I'm the one that's gonna be learning from it and dealing with it each day. With no breaks, I keep on cruising with my faith that keeps me moving. I don't need to prove it to anybody, this is my life that I'm living. So let me try to achieve my goals my own way. Since I started from the bottom, I've been trying to lead my life in that right direction, looking for the right connection that best suits me. Even though I make mistakes, I work hard to better my ways, I earn my minimum wage, I change jobs, looking for that right one while I'm dealing with a bad habit. Now everybody have it, I'll be straight up to admit mine. Yes, I like to drink so much alcohol, piss it down the drain, money waste. Now I'm dealing with the consequences, that was my decision which put me in this position. Money making going up till it drops, now I'm broke again. I keep on hitting the speed bumps, but I can't help it when I like to drink my rum mix. I got tricks up my sleeve that keeps it going, just like my flow that keeps on rolling. I take that one step back and two step forward. I'm trying to improve myself, yeah, just like everybody else. In my own ways, in my own time, in my own mind, I'm the only one that leads my life. Yeah, yeah, leads my life. I'm trying to improve myself. A challenge, my intuition is to complete my mission. My vision is always set on my dreams ahead of me on the horizon. In order for me to achieve, I need to push aside all the negativity. But no matter what, it's always gonna be so much confusion, illusions, complications, difficult situations with so many people judging books by its cover. Turn the pages and understand before you speak. Your mouth leaks, heaps and peeps wanna believe it. Who that, he that, she that, believe it. He that, he this, just listen to me. I'll be making you wanna dance to this and forget all the bad things in your life. For a moment, see the difference and take a step back or think twice or take a chance. In fact, just sit back, drink, relax. We don't want no drama here. I miss it in a movie on the TV screen, but that's just not me. I'm not a wannabe, I'm just trying to be 100%. I don't pretend, I keep it original. All the way from the NBA, I represent Torres Straits and Aboriginal. I represent Torres Straits and Aboriginal. I represent Torres Straits and Aboriginal. I'm trying to improve myself, yeah, just like everybody else. In my
own maze, in my own time, in my own mind. I'm the only one that leads my life. Yeah, yeah, leads my life. I'm trying to improve myself. Yeah, just like everybody, yeah.
Just like everybody.
In my own maze, in my own time, in my own mind. I'm the only one that leads my life. Yeah, yeah, leads my life.
Hey, welcome back to the show. That was awesome to have the Birriggubba Nation visit recently and to hear them here and that their government is growing. And joining us in the studio now is Gunyara and Bumi. Gunyara, it was recently National Sorry Day for the Australians, but, you know, when you say sorry, you try not to make those mistakes again, but Australia has just keep making. They're still taking the children, and this is one of the things that is absolutely wrong.
That would be an understatement. You know, when you say sorry, actually, it makes me think, when you say sorry, that means you've done something wrong. What are you saying sorry for? You know, maybe there's some crime being perpetrated. Maybe they're saying sorry because they don't want to get charged with the crime of genocide, you know, because if they're taking our kids, our lot that are on the other side of sovereignty, remember when they said the Uluru Statement, there's two lots of sovereignty here. There's the Australian sovereignty, and then there's the other lot, the owners, the real people. So maybe they don't want to be charged with genocide in the international court, you know what I mean, the ICC. Oh, we'll just say we're sorry. That means we won't, but they're still doing it. But the way they're still doing it is the identity. They want you to be seen as an Australian to make sure that they can take your children from the Australian identity, not from your original sovereignty identity where it coexists with the sovereignty of Australia. So this is what we've got to be very careful of, is that if we're seen through an Australian, we're going to be subject to Australian law. So this is, and I know they shouldn't do it, but they don't want to tell the Aboriginal people, they don't want to tell the Islander people that in their sovereignty, you are the owner.
Bumi, if you want to put that microphone closer to you there, but you've got something to say, because obviously this is very, children are being taken away all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's true with Gunja to say, you know, like, how about, like, we've got our paint on now. We're painting up and we're dancing and it's very good. But like we say that, you know, we say that the word sorry, you know. They're like they're blaming us, you know. See, Australia, most of the Aboriginal people, we were the first people here. We should be recognised a long, long time ago. See, my dad in Yarraba, he couldn't talk on a stage or talk on a mic. He had to show his appearance to the white people, you know, leave us alone. You're here, you're trouble, you know. See, one Gribble came there. He came, he was covering up, you know, covering up. And he used our lot to do all the wrong thing. And like we see today, you know, that we should be recognised a very long, long time ago, you know. See, right now that I see there's nothing, they want to wash you around all the time, you know. You know, you can still walk around, you can do what you like and all this and that, but it still goes on, you know. Like, yeah, Land Council reckon we are right, that's a good go, you know. They want to dominate our life still today, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Gunyara, that I guess whatever Australia is doesn't have permission to be here. And it is, you know, people do think that they're king of the roost here, and it clearly isn't that way from our point of view. But at the same time, you know, we can only do so much as a nation. There is a lot of patience and moving forward with the nation and the government. But when it comes to children are sacred. Yeah. You know, little children are sacred. And there's been report after report, bringing them home report, this, that and the other. And Australia keeps doing the same thing over and over. And the Bible says the leopard can't change its spots.
You're right, it won't change your spots. And you think about what Bumi just said there, you know. These kids are the future. They are the next generation. They carry the law forward. If you assimilate those kids into another sovereignty, you've done away with that old law that's always been here, that's always protected the country, that's always looked after the place. So they assimilate them in to become Australians. Not Yidinji anymore. Yous are now Australians. So this is where you're seen through this legal identity, where they can get control of you, and they do. This is all about dominance and control. It's not about giving the Aboriginal people a fair go, you know, giving them a break in community. It's not about self-determination, self-government. It's about them being the boss and everyone toeing the line, especially those who are the real owners of the place. Now, if you don't toe the line as the real owner, we'll hammer you. We'll take your kids off you. We will make sure that you bow down, and we will just keep riding on the backs of the Aboriginal people type. That's that mentality of the White Australia policy. They've taken the place off the Aboriginal people without consent. They've plundered the resources without consent. They've taken the kids without consent. They've taken everything. They've taken the law away. They've tried to deprive them of law and language and everything. You asked all Aboriginal people, were you allowed to speak your language at home? Were you allowed to speak it out in public? No, you had to speak English. And they control marriages, you know, so they're controlling who could marry who, could go where. You know, these missions, and these are actually outdoor concentration camps. They're not prisons. These are big concentration camps, what I call these missions are, and they lock you up in there like Yarrabah and like all of them around the Cape, all around Australia. There's these missions where you had to get permission to leave there. You couldn't go into town, for example. You asked Uncle here about the exercise of going from Yarrabah into Cairns, you know, in the day. That was really difficult. So, sorry. What do you mean say sorry? Sorry for what? What did you do wrong?
Yeah, Bumi, what do you reckon?
Yeah, the sorry business that... You know, it's not on, you know, that's not the answer, you know, like they want you to say sorry really to them, you know. You got to wear it, and they want you to wear it and all this, you know, you've been mucking up. And I said, no way, we didn't muck this place up with our people, you know. We've been looking after them. Well, Bobo Charlie, he's seen the danger in them, see. He told Gribble, go, we don't need you. So he showed Grandad a gun and a Bible, you know. He tell him, no, you go, we don't need you. I can look after these people. He played a good role for people in Yarrabah. That's why it's all over with our community. There's somebody in there that can stand up, you know. And I've seen a lot of people that stand up today, and, you know, that's very good. Like, I was... Go on.
Well, okay... Now you think about this, Uncle. New Caledonia out there. Let's go overseas. Let's just get away from here. Are them black fellas over there, or are they white fellas over there? You know what I mean? New Caledonia is an island out here in the Pacific, what people call the Kanakas, you know, and they got black skin. What are the Frenchmen doing there? Why is there such riots going on? I thought the world had to decolonize, or is it still a French territory? That's why they speak French there. Are they part of France? You know, what are they controlling France for? What's France controlling New Caledonia for? It's the resources. It's the strategic location. It's all these things that the French don't have no right to have be out there. The French have no right to be on New Caledonia. Decolonise, go back to where you come. And it's not only Australia. Who are the Australians? They're white fellas. Think about it. Who are the Aboriginal people? They're black fellas. Just like them Kanakas, it's black and white. You know, we can just see this plain as day. Why aren't the Australians recognising who the Aboriginal people are? Why aren't they recognising Yidinji? Why haven't they got a treaty with Yidinji? Why haven't they got a treaty with Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people? Same as over there with them New Caledonia. You know, the New Caledonian are French people. And them poor Kanakas, they're buggered. But they can't figure out how come France can control them. It's through the legal identity that they're seen as French people, you know. So if they could just take an understanding of the Yidinji way, just think about what we're talking about. They could empower France to protect them, but then the French would have proper permission to be there if they said, look, you protect us, we're going to govern ourselves, and you protect us, just like what we're proposing to Australia. We'll let you be here if you meet these terms and conditions of the treaty. This is what a treaty is all about. What Uncle's talking about, we can resolve that past through treaty negotiation. We can settle the past, let that all go. You know, we're not going to bring back any of those kids that were taken, that were harmed, were injured. We can't bring that back to... We can't undo history, but we can settle the past, you know. Like you know, him, like his uncle, or his father getting shot in the foot, sorry. You know, can we fix that now? No, we can't. But we can heal that by saying, okay, this is the terms and conditions of a treaty. You will toe the line. We will govern ourselves. You misbehave with the Australians. We will ensure the treaty's over and done with. We will, as a self-governing nation, the Yidinji people, whose sovereignty coexists with their sovereignty, just like the sovereignty of those Kanakas. Where did they sign the treaty for the French to be there? Or the French just take it? This is the colonial world that's got to be gotten rid of. This is the problem across the globe, is settler mentality. We just move in and take your stuff. Why are they in Australia? What's in Australia that the white fella needs?
Yeah, it's a it's the history of the world, really, when you think about it. And the solution is here. You know, the Yidinji Nation is not raising an army with machine guns and tanks and things like that and drones to blow people out of the sky. We're actually just saying, hey, look, here's a treaty. Let's talk about it and sit down as men under a tree, in this office, whatever it may be, but let's settle the past, let's secure the future. We're not interested in shooting people. You've already done that here. We know it's wrong. You say you're sorry, but at the same time, you've bullied men walking around here and harassing us and this, that, and the other, and you just ask any Yidinji man or woman, you know, they'll tell you. Which is why we got our police, because, you know, even Queensland police with their Indigenous liaison and advisor group, they've disbanded it now. I mean, what are they doing? What are they doing?
Well, why would you disband the advisory group, you know? Why would you not want the advice of someone like Uncle here? Why would you not want him to have input into what's going on?
I mean, at least in Victoria they're saying sorry, right?
Are they really sorry? This is the thing. Have they been caught out? But now it's on record. Last year at the Yurok Commission, they actually made a statement that they recognise the sovereignty of the Indigenous people there. But the Indigenous people are all too busy being Australian on the other side. Remember when we went to Yorta Yorta there going back, what, 5 or 6 years ago? We told them, this is the way the game plays. And who's not at the treaty table in Victoria? Yorta Yorta. Why is that? Because they could see through the game that it was. Now, the Victorian police saying they're sorry and they now recognise the sovereignty, be very careful of what they do. They can bash the Aboriginal Australian, but don't you dare touch those who are in their proper capacity under their other sovereignty, the one that coexists with Australia, the one where the Yorta Yorta people realise that they are the real people. They don't need Australian permission. They don't need Australian law. They don't need native title to say whether they're the lawmen or not. They've got to start to assert their sovereignty, and they're starting to do that. And that's why they're not at the table of that Gammon Treaty stuff where, you know, it's state-based rubbish. But the Victorian police have acknowledged that they were taking part in the genocide of taking the kids, the stolen generation, the money, the whole box and dice, the slavery. They were taking part in this from colonial times. And it actually, if you read the Yurok Commission report, they said Victoria Police started back a long time ago in the 1800s and now are still there today. So the world of colonialism is still there. The manifestation is still there now called the Commonwealth of Australia and its states, you know, the state of Victoria, state of New South Wales, state of Queensland.
Yes, it's an amazing journey, whatever it is, but at the end of the day, the Yidinji Nation is moving forward. As we've heard, the Birriggaba Nation is now moving forward, and so these are exciting times, and Bumi, it's something that your grandchildren will learn about when they get older, about the Yidinji Nation and the government here, and why we took a stand to correct the past, you know, the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, well, like I got Gunja and Murumbi, and we got this radio show now. No, it's not a show, but it's we reaching out to you now. It's to come in, you know, or call for us if you need help. We can sit down instead of talking on a mobile phone. And see, we're talking for your rights too, but they're going to never want to stop that. We got right because we are Aboriginal people in Australia. We want to see not a fair go, but we know our truth, we know our rights, you know. I see a lot of places they're taking over, and I seen a picture about this fellow got this tin of soft drink at a trade, you know, and I said, oh, they should wipe that hat off, you know. We don't trade with nobody, you know, this is our land. They want you to hack like them You know, like, see my language named Bumi. But they don't want you to be that, you're the Hona. And they give you a name like P.D. Manuel, you got nothing, you know. They want you to have nothing even right now. But with these two help here, that they're very good and a bit brainy than me, but I still got what I, like what Dad been tell us about. And it's a very strong thing, and it's a true thing, you know. They want to give the old people back now their boomerang and shield, what they've been stealing and all this and that. They've been spending all that money and they want to give us back. But, you know, just to look, they don't give you back. You want to hold everything up all the time, you know. Yeah, so I'm coming all right there.
Yeah, I think, Gunyara, that we really need to, Queensland and you know, needs to put pressure on to Tony. Anthony Albanese, that is, to fast track this, because I'm not saying that it's going to end up like New Caledonia, but we can certainly provide a model that is quite frictionless, so the rest of the world can see what kind of remedy can take place in this modern day between tribal nations and, let's say, the UN member states. I think it's quite a simple thing, right?
So you mean fast track it? I think. Back in 2017, wasn't it the 17th of August, to be precise, that we walked into the big building down there and offered them a roadmap. Let's walk down this road together. Let's try and settle the past. Let's secure the future. You mean fast track it like that, like it's dragged out now 7 years? Give us a break. You know, they've got to get their finger out. Otherwise, there might be some other UN member state that might need a deal or might want to do a deal. And look, we're going to consider any and every option that's out there. We're not going to muck around with Australia for too much longer. We've got to keep moving forward. We are. We want to settle the past. We want to secure the future, forever it may be, on our country. We don't need to keep going around in circles. And we were told by Senator Scullion at the time, look, these are maybe 30 to 40 years ahead of where we, ahead of the curve, you know, on the sovereignty issue. No, we're not. These are 30 or 40 years behind the curve. These are kicking the can down the road. You're dragging the chain. You don't want to be part of this. Why? Because you need to plunder the joint a bit longer. Why are the Frenchmen in New Caledonia? They're after the nickel. They want the launching base for any of their strategic rockets if they may need that. Because, look, they're a nuclear state. We've got to be very careful of this. We're trying to settle the past and secure the future by having some military to defend our territory. We don't want to do it ourselves. We haven't got the capacity to do it ourselves. We've got to face reality. We've got the right to do it, but we don't want to do it. We want to allocate that to a UN member state. We want to follow the Charter of the UN. The Charter of the UN makes it very clear that, you know, if you're a manifestation of colonialism, pack your bag and go, or do a deal with the local mob. You know, this is keeping with the Charter. But who's breaching the Charter? I see it a bit of a strange comment the other day from Peter Dutton. How about Australia pull out of the International Criminal Court? We don't recognise it no more. Why would you want to pull out of that? Why would you want to pull out? Maybe they're committing genocide. Maybe they are aiding genocide. Maybe they're committing war crimes. I don't know. But why are they wanting to pull out? If you were so honest, so great, so perfect, you wouldn't want to pull out of that. If you're not breaking the law, you don't need to pull out. What do you got to be frightened of? So they're frightened of something. Now they're talking about sorry business. It's sorry day. Sorry for what? What did you do? Come on. You tell us what you're sorry for. And mean it. Are you sorry that you converted all the Aboriginal people into Australians? Are you sorry that you've stolen the kids from those Aboriginal nations and made them Australians? What are you sorry for? Are you sorry you stole all the stuff off us? Are you sorry you killed the people? Are you sorry about the poison flower? What are you sorry for? And be honest about it, because the Victorian police, when they said sorry, sorry for what? There was a crime committed. There was a crime committed and no one's done anything about it, because the Aboriginal people make up 3% of the 100%. 97% have done what? They're the guilty ones. And when the judge came out in Mabo and said Australia was built on the back of the Aboriginal people, they underwrote Australia. So the 97% are getting the benefit of the 3%. And then I hear this crap that comes out. I hear it all the time. The Aboriginal people have got a brand new Toyota every year. And they've got a brand new house. It couldn't be any more further from the truth, because I get out in amongst all the mobs across all this North Queensland. And I see the poverty. I see the hardship. You know, they're struggling to put tucker on the table. They're struggling to get the kids to school. And they wonder why it's rife with youth crime. They wonder why. Youth crime is an indication that society is sick, that there's something really wrong with the place.
Yes, that's it for Black Law Tribal Edition. Thank you so much for your time and effort. And We'll catch you next week. Until then, you take it easy. Gaya Baragala Nunda, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are.